Hello, this is Jonathan Marks via PCJ Online, just about to push the button on another programme from the media network Vintage Radio Archives.
This is the Netherlands Radio Station, in the Netherlands, calling you. This is the Netherlands Radio Station's radio
program. That's right. It's Media Network, Radio Netherlands' weekly communications magazine with Jonathan Marks.
Hello, and quite a few news items to pass on as we kick off the new month of July. You might want to have a pen and paper ready. First to home news, and here in Hilversum, Holland, Monday night was the night for nostalgia buffs.
Hilversum 3 bestond nog niet. Maar ieder had zijn eigen stem. Op elke steiger klonk een lied. Van Paljazo.
Herman van Veen's song about the days prior to the start of the pop channel Hilversum 3 are rather appropriate as you wander through Hilversum's new Museum of Broadcasting. June the 28th saw the official opening of the expanded exhibition area, now 1,600 square metres.
Ons volgend programma-onderdeel zal gewijd zijn aan het kindertoneel. En niet het toneel.
Eddie Nkana, Minister for Culture, was surprised with an old recording of herself when she used to present a children's programme, after which she officially opened the museum.
Daar gaat-ie, 1, 2, 3.
Most of the exhibition focuses on television, but radio is represented with a beautiful collection of vintage wireless sets and one of the old KRO broadcasting studios of the 50s. The museum on Hilversum's Oude Amersfoortseweg is open every day except Mondays.
Media Network News Desk.
US international broadcasting still appears to be in turmoil, with reports resurfacing in the press that Radio Free Europe and Radio Liberty are considering moving their headquarters from Munich to Prague. It would certainly lead to production cost savings. Meanwhile, in Miami, Florida, Jeff White reports a strange tale of Television Marti, the US government's TV service to Cuba. They used to have a television transmitter tethered to a special balloon in order to get the signals into Havana.
Well, it just so happens that I was driving your colleagues from the Spanish DX program at Radio Netherlands were with me over the weekend, and we were driving back from down in the Keys, passing by Cudjoe Key, where one always notices this big blimp off to the side of the road. There wasn't any, and that's the TV Marti blimp, and so I talked to Joe O'Connell at Voice of America Public Relations in Washington, and he says, in fact, TV Marti has been off the air since approximately the 6th of March of this year. You know what they do every morning? They raise this balloon up, and then they lower it down again. It's on a tether rope holding it down, and apparently as they were taking it down after the broadcast in the morning at an altitude of about 8,000 feet, it broke loose and floated about 3 miles away. It came down on a nearby key, one of the small islands there. And this is not the first time that's happened. They're still waiting on another blimp.
Does that mean to say then that TV Marti itself is off the air?
Well, not exactly on the air, but it's on the bird. They say that it's still been broadcasting ever since March every day, but only via satellite.
Now, and that's assuming then, of course, the people in Cuba have satellite dishes.
Right. Well, as Joe O'Connell says, they realize that at this point they're only broadcasting to people in the government in Cuba. But he says the good thing about it is that they're probably not jamming it right now.
And so to sports, effective this Saturday, there'll be a temporary change to our broadcast schedule, affecting the first 2 hours of our English broadcast in the evening to Asia. That's on 13700 kilohertz only at 1330 UTC. Jan-Willem Drekshager, head of Radio Netherlands Frequency and Monitoring Department, has the details.
Yes, we will stop with the English transmission on 13700 kHz from 1325 to 1525, because that frequency will be used for our Tour de France transmission.
That's in Dutch?
Yes, that's a transmission in Dutch. We got an agreement with our Russian colleagues to rent a transmitter close to Moscow and to transmit on 13700 to Europe.
So we can't broadcast on 13700 kHz from our Flevo transmitter site here in Holland, otherwise we cause mutual interference with our own broadcasts.
Yes, that's not possible, of course.
What's the power of the transmitter in Moscow?
150 kilowatts we'll be using.
Right, and it's beamed towards Europe, I guess.
Eastern and western part of Europe.
And what time is it on the air?
It'll start at 12:30 UTC until 15:25.
Right, on a daily basis, until when?
Till July 25th.
Are you interested in reception reports from the Moscow transmitter?
Yes, that's always welcome.
Report should be sent to Radio Netherlands Frequency and Monitoring Department, P.O. Box 222 in Hilversum. 13700 kHz via Moscow with the Tour de France coverage starts at 12:30 UTC and is joined an hour later by 5955 and 9895 kHz via our Flevo transmitter site here in Holland. Other frequencies to Asia in English will be on the air as usual. I wonder if we should cover the Tour de France on our English service of Radio Netherlands, or at least highlights of it. Comments are welcome to the answer line, Hilversum 724222. Incidentally, if you were one of the several thousand people selected from our mailing list to receive a Radio Netherlands audience research questionnaire, please do us a favour and return the form immediately if you haven't already done so. Your input is valuable in planning our winter schedule. Back to the bands and to your phone calls, thanks to our next caller who went to considerable personal expense to tell us about changes to UAE Radio Dubai's broadcasts.
Hello, Jonathan. This is Konstantin Kosi calling from Kiev in Ukraine. Dubai Radio External Service have replaced 17895 kHz by 21485 kHz. That's 21485 for the transmission in the direction of North America from 2:30 to 4 hours UTC. English program is 3:30, and they have also replaced 15435 kHz by 15395 kHz for the program directed to Europe and North Africa, with sign-on at 6 hours UTC.
Thanks for the call. So that's 21485 at 0330 UTC for the English segment from Dubai, directed to North America. This next call has been on the shelf for a few weeks while we investigated.
It's Alexander Kutamanis from Delft with an item for Media Network. Sunday, the 30th of May, just before 09 hours UTC, I tuned to a station calling itself Radio Aura, spelled A-U-R-A, on approximately 6258 kHz. The station claimed to be the first Bulgarian pirate, and the address they gave was American University, Bulgaria 2700.
Well, the reason why Alexander Kutamanis in Delft could hear this Bulgarian radio station, and yet it wasn't logged much further afield, was because it was Bulgarian, it was a pirate, but the transmitter was near Amsterdam. The programme material, though, was recorded in Bulgaria. That was just a one-day wonder, it seems, but the people behind the real Radio Aura, which does exist, do have a story to tell about the development of radio in Bulgaria.
My name is Chris Grozev. I'm the general manager of Radio Aura in Bulgaria. It's broadcast on FM 98.9 in the region of Blagoevgrad, and it's owned by a fund organization which is called the Students at the American University in Bulgaria.
The station started as a campus station 2 years ago, but the students decided to go further than broadcasting just on the campus. But that was a long fight because the government hadn't legalized commercial stations. The station eventually went on the air in January of 1993, put together by students.
I was the only one among them who had experience before. I had set up several pirate stations in Bulgaria when it was still not allowed to set up commercial stations. The first pirate station in Bulgaria, Kanal Kom, was also part of my history. It was closed down after a month of broadcasting by the authorities. Very nicely, by the way, they just called us and said, could you please close the transmission site until legislation is passed? So I admire that.
Radio Aura is affiliated with VOA Europe, putting out the English language programmes, satellite delivered from Washington, D.C. for several hours a day. The rest of the material is locally produced and carries commercials. Mind you, commercial stations aren't very plentiful.
In Sofia, which is the capital, there are six stations at the moment. One of them is closing down because of bankruptcy at this moment, actually. So six stations in Sofia, four stations in the second biggest town, Plovdiv, one station in our region in Blagoevgrad, and two stations at the sea coast. So in total, at about 12 stations are broadcasting commercial stations. They all have a history of only 6 months at the most, because that's when legislation was passed concerning commercial broadcasting. Most of them were created by people who worked for government radio before that.
In May 1993 came the first surveys in Sofia to find out who was listening.
The results show that the first national program, which is called Horizon, still ranks first in the listings with about 35%. Second comes one commercial station, which is called Radio Express, and then the other commercial stations follow suit. But in Blagoevgrad, which is our region where we broadcast, we have a very, very large percentage of 65%, followed only by national radio.
Bulgarian Public Radio is clearly concerned about the growth of commercial radio. It will affect the blocks of commercials that it carries to help offset the cost of its production.
So it's also trying to give away large prizes. It's also trying to be musically based and go for top 40. Very little to do with what is considered public radio in most states, a radio station that should cater for interests that are not catered for by commercial stations. So what it is doing is national radio is trying to be a commercial formatted station, and of course it's playing commercials, and it always has. Even in communist times, it still was supported partly by budget money and partly by commercials.
Romania has announced that its first privately owned television channel will go on the air quite soon. Called Channel 31, it will mainly carry relays of CNN. But what about private television in Bulgaria?
Several frequencies have been allocated. They were allocated about 4 months ago for commercial TV channels, but nothing has happened yet, mostly due to the high price of TV equipment compared to radio equipment. So there are three companies in Sofia that received licenses for TV broadcasting, but they haven't done anything yet. The interesting thing is that one of the most promising project was headed for commercial television, was headed by a person who was recently appointed as head of the national state television. So that project just dropped.
So where does that leave international broadcasters like Radio Free Europe, who've enjoyed large audiences in Bulgaria in the past? Chris has clear views on this.
The FM service of Radio Free Europe is only broadcast in Sofia at this point, although they're waiting for 17 new licenses in the 17 big towns in Bulgaria. But even with FM facilities, they haven't been able to increase their audience figures. Of course, these figures dropped immensely after the changes, and people go for domestic radio. People prefer domestic radio for news at this point much more. And, of course, it was very easy for Radio Free Europe and the other international broadcasters to sustain a large audience before the changes, because they didn't have to do very much. They only had to provide objective information, which was not available in Bulgaria. Now that it is available, they should go for something different, change the format, or close down. And they haven't changed the format, so apparently the second option is in front of them. The problem is that The recent figures that were released for international broadcasters show that Radio Free Europe is listened to once a week by 0.3%, even less than that in some areas of Bulgaria. And in Sofia, where it's broadcast on FM, it is listened to once a week by 5% of the audience.
Another problem is that young people don't seem to be all that concerned about what's going on in the world. They're too busy discovering Western music.
It is obvious that news is rather disregarded in favor of music in most stations. They go for what is called rip and read news journalism rather than creative news writing. This is the case in most of the stations. Some stations have found an even easier path than subscribing to news services, and this path is contracting a newspaper which provides and prepares the whole news cast to be read in exchange for advertisement, and this is what some stations have done in Bulgaria. At Radio Hour, we have a news room of 15 people who gather news from teletext services, from tapping into international broadcasters, and also from tapping into Bulgarian national television.
But what about Radio Bulgaria, the new name for Radio Sofia, which broadcasts to listeners outside the country on medium and shortwave? You may know the English service. It seems to have survived the sort of cuts which have been implemented in Tirana and Prague once communism fell.
Parliament has passed something like a regulation that no more cuts will be made in Bulgarian national radio and television after considerable cuts were made in the domestic services, and this created a lot of backlash from trade unions and syndicates. So there are no plans, just because of the fact that they cannot fire any more people, there are no plans to cut down on services. some of these services have very low audience figures and low popularity, but this cannot be used as an argument at the moment just because of other factors, which are political factors. There was a proposal from Intelsat for leasing a subcarrier to Radio Bulgaria, but this was turned down by the Bulgarian Committee for Telecommunications and Posts as unfavorable, and there are no plans for other satellite deals at the moment. There are no standards, obvious standards, even technical engineering standards, which you can see in Western radio. Like, for example, the concept for a commercial musical station that the DJ should not speak over the vocals of a song is just not familiar there. Nobody's heard of that. People just don't notice that, and they don't recognize it as a necessity. Also, objectivity in news writing and news editing is not something that is cared for, and of course it's normal after Bulgarian radio, national radio and television don't really pay much attention to objectivity, because subjective journalism has proven to be much more successful in Bulgaria. The concept of musical formatting is also completely unknown, so very often you would come across commercial stations, a station in Plovdiv, which is mixing within 1 hour of music. It is mixing jazz, top 40, alternative music, and then Bulgarian folk music, and then Serbian music, folk music, and then Turkish music. Bulgarian music is given like 4 to 5% of the whole musical output of stations. For example, if we take a station called Radio Tangra in Sofia, which is owned by two very famous pop musicians from the past in Bulgaria, you would think that they would play mostly Bulgarian music just because they come from that sector, but even they give 5% of their airtime to Bulgarian music, mostly to their own production. The biggest problem is getting hold of music. And as you know, there are almost no Western record companies that have branches in Bulgaria, and therefore they have no interest in promoting their stuff. And this results in a very difficult situation for getting CDs, new CDs, promotional CDs, and even old music. So what broadcasters in Bulgaria are doing is they simply go to another country in the West and they buy the stuff they have to broadcast in large quantities, which of course is in a way an infringement on the copyright law, because they shouldn't, nominally speaking, don't have permission to play these records. But because there is no copyright law passed in Bulgaria yet, they just go ahead and play it anyway.
Chris Grosev of Radio ARA, and copyright legislation is expected later in the year. More on the media in Eastern Europe in future editions of this program.
Media Network, with worldwide correspondents who are out to make sense, not dollars.
Okay, next caller, please.
I'm P. Manoj, calling from Trivandrum, India. This call is to Media Network. Hello, Jonathan. My father, who is now in London, purchased a low HF-150 receiver, and someone told him that there are certain restrictions on taking radio receivers aboard aircraft. I want to know whether there is any such restriction in London's Heathrow and Gatwick airports.
Yes, a couple of summers ago, people travelling through many European airports were subject to a lot of hassle if they had a radio with them in their hand luggage. I believe the bomb that blew up the Pan Am flight above Lockerbie was hidden in a radio cassette recorder. Airports are very reluctant to talk about their security arrangements for obvious reasons. The advice we have is based on personal experience. Pack your radio in the suitcase that you check in. It may be X-rayed, but that won't harm it. If you decide to put the radio in the hand luggage, make sure that it has batteries in it so you can demonstrate that the set really performs if asked to do so by a security agent. It's no good standing there asking if someone can bring you a mains power cord so you can demonstrate your shortwave radio in the middle of a busy airport. The HF-150, incidentally, has provision for penlight batteries if your father decides to take the radio with him on board the aircraft cabin. Another quick call.
This is Jacob Klee from Richmond, Virginia in USA. I was wondering if, Jonathan, if you could give me the address for Radio Slovakia. I've had the worst of times trying to find the address.
The answer is simply Slovakian Radio, Mytna, that's spelled M-Y-T-N-A, 1-81290 in Bratislava. And that, of course, is in Slovakia.
Back in 1927, Holland started international broadcasting from the Deep South.
This is station PCJ.
The Deep South of Holland, that is. More than 60 years later, we think we've got the formula about right. Small country, big heart. Public radio, direct from Europe.
Shortwave listening is often considered to be a male-dominated activity. So we were interested to see a new paperback called Shortwave Radio Listening for Beginners, written by a woman, Anita Louise McCormick. The writer's described as a ham radio operator with more than 20 years' experience as a shortwave listener. Joining me now is Lou Josephs to look at this new publication.
The first thing to say is that the book is clearly aimed at the North American market. The second thing is that despite the title, it attempts to cover not just shortwave, but also the AM band, known as medium wave in most parts of the world, and the public service bands on VHF and UHF. One chapter is also devoted to amateur radio.
The organization of the book is a little different to most of the others that we've seen. After a historical introduction, which includes a number of early photos of station KDKA in Pittsburgh, the author goes straight into the subject of long-distance medium-wave listening. Only in Chapter 3 does she reach the subject of listening to shortwave broadcasters.
And unfortunately, the information given about each subject is very rudimentary. For example, only one page of this 180-page book is devoted to the important topic of buying a suitable receiver. In fact, the author only mentions three sets by name, and these are not necessarily the best in their price range. Since the receiver and antenna are crucial factors in shortwave listening, we think that's a major omission.
There are clear signs that the book was written in the first half of last year, although our review copy only arrived a few weeks ago. There's a reference to Radio Beijing, which changed its name to China Radio International last autumn. The fourth chapter, called Station Profiles, has similar out-of-date information. For example, our own Happy Station show on Radio Netherlands has been presented since last September by Pete Myers, but his predecessor, Tom Meyer, is mentioned as the host. Worse still, the book doesn't even get our station name right. It's given as Radio Nederlands, which isn't even correct in Dutch or English. Such inaccuracies cast doubt on the claim in the book's foreword that it's been, quote, well-researched.
Apart from international broadcasters, there's a section about pirate radio. But as with the rest of the book, most of the information given here applies to North America, and no attempt is made to examine the subject from a much broader perspective. What is also strange is the almost complete lack of information about domestic shortwave broadcasters. For example, those in Latin America, despite the fact that listening to such stations from that region is very popular in both the U.S. and Canada.
One thing we do like, though, is the generous number of references to other sources of information. However, this puts the onus on the reader to spend time, effort, and, of course, money finding out things which ought to have been included in the first place. Also, at the back of the book, there are listings of international station addresses, DX clubs, and radio equipment sources. A lot of this information repeats what's found in other publications, such as the World Radio TV Handbook. Most of the equipment suppliers mentioned are in the United States, and in some cases, 1-800 telephone numbers are given, but again, these are only useful if you live in the US or even Canada.
So to sum it up then, Shortwave Radio Listening for Beginners is a rather unbalanced book that tries to serve a diverse market in less than 200 pages and ends up not serving any of them particularly well. The writing style is lively enough. The author is, after all, a professional freelance writer, but there just isn't enough detail, and what detail there is sometimes turns out to be inaccurate. Overall, then, we weren't real impressed.
Shortwave Radio Listening for Beginners is published by Tab Books and costs $10.95 in the United States. But to reiterate, the usefulness of this book outside North America is very limited, and there are better titles available, including some of them from the same publisher.
So many great songs, so little time. Radio Netherlands, thundering into your part of the world.
We hope so. Now a few listening tips from Arthur Cushion in New Zealand, covering the Pacific radio scene. Arthur, 10 days ago we were celebrating the longest day here in Holland. I guess the longest night for you down there. That must have meant a good medium wave reception right in midwinter. A good time then to be listening.
It is, Jonathan, but we were hearing
Latin Americans about 2.5 hours before local sunset. That would be around 0230 UTC to past 0500. Several interesting frequencies. On 985, which is a split channel, we're hearing Radio Latina, and that's in Peru. That's around 0500. 1330, there's a Venezuelan there, Radio Regional, around 0415. And on 1430, there's Radio Bahia. It's actually listed in the handbook as 1420, but it's 1430, and they close with the Venezuelan national anthem at 0355. 1580, YVYV, which is the earliest one heard, around 0230. And on 1590, the only North American we picked up was WRXB, and that's in St. Petersburg Beach, Florida, at around 0520. That's North Americans start to come in after 0500. That's really when it's getting dark down here. We're looking at Australia and nostalgia. You know, you look at a station and think, well, I've heard that for many years. 3GI Sale, which is in the Gippsland part of Victoria. In fact, I visited that last year. They've decided that their frequency of 828 will now be known as 3RN. That means that they're going to be now a radio national program of the ABC. And still in Melbourne, the sale of 3EE for $1.6 million to 3MP means that the 3MP is running two frequencies. That's 693 and 1377. And a letter from the manager says that they'll continue the two frequencies because the lower channel gives much better reception in the Melbourne area. From Bulgaria, the English 0300-0400, we find the frequency of 9850. This is a relatively new frequency. It's really excellent here. It's got an alternative channel of 11765. The Italian radio relay service, good chance to hear this one at 2030. The channel is very clear, 7125 at 2045, they identify, and at 2100, they've got their United Nations program.
Now to Mexico, I understand.
A couple of news items from Mexico, the education radio, which is on 6185, opens at 1000, and some interference from a Peruvian, which is Radio Oriente, which has heard a little earlier at 0915, and we're hearing at 0545 on 6010 XEOI, Radio Mill, and around 0606 UTC, they announce Radio Mill, which is, of course, the medium wave channel of 1,000 kilohertz.
Thank you, Arthur. And if you've been wondering why Lou Josephs is in studio quality this week and not on a phone line from Boston, USA, the answer's quite simple. He's sitting here across from me in the studio. And we're both going to listen to this next item from Julius Hermans, calling from just round the corner.
A French radio station will chase away the mosquitoes by broadcasting a special sound wave along its normal transmission. The station Radio Fouque FM in Compagne, which is about 80 kilometers north of Paris, will use this sound wave, which is on a frequency of 16 kilohertz, to chase away female mosquitoes. The sound wave is not audible for the human ear. The station says that by using the sound wave, the mosquitoes don't get within 4 meters of the radio. So maybe something for Radio Netherlands to use, a special mosquito sound wave for a broadcast for northern Scandinavia or so.
Who knows? What an amazing idea. In fact, it's not very original. I seem to have heard that before, Lou.
Yes, a Canadian station tried this stunt several years ago. I mean, if you've ever been bitten by a Canadian mosquito, you know the result.
Yes, I don't think there's any scientific proof that it really works.
Oh, gee, if only it did.
What about other crazy ideas people have had to promote their radio station?
Well, if you've watched WKRP in Cincinnati, one U.S. radio station decided to imitate the Great Thanksgiving turkey drop by dropping live turkeys out of an airplane.
Talking of turkeys, remember that station called Radio Brod, the right to speak, which was broadcasting to former Yugoslavia from a ship off the Italian coast? Well, the vessel is now in the Italian port of Bari. It had been flying the flag of St. Vincent and the Grenadines, but following complaints by the government in Belgrade to the ITU in Geneva, St. Vincent withdrew its flag of convenience. So far, the ship's been financed through a grant from the European Community. A story just in time for the offshore radio convention in Calais this weekend. Hope from all of us, have a pleasant weekend.
I've been doing some listening between 3 and 30 megawatts. It's, some people get static. Some people get far-off countries. I just get a headache.
Serving the universe from Flevo, Radio Netherlands, with relays in Russia, Bonaire, and Madagascar. Any questions?
And that's where we end this nostalgic trip back into the Media Network audio archives from 1981 to October 2000. If you find all this stuff interesting, you might want to explore the Critical Distance website, where you can find more vintage audio shows, but also peruse recent video interviews I've made in the course of my travels around the world. Some of the videos actually follow up on points raised in the Media Network programme. So zip over to www.jonathanmarks.com for more details. In the meantime, this is Jonathan Marks saying back soon. Bye for now.